This is the Creative Sports Podcast. My name is Justin Peterson, and joining me are Brock Rahm.
I'm drinking Land Grant. Land Grant Spring Quarter. It's a Belgian blonde with local honey.
And Garrett Wright.
I should have a beer. I don't know why I don't have a beer in front of me for this. I did not think this through.
I'm going to make myself a whiskey real quick.
What, you guys want to... Want to kick it off?
Let's kick it off. Let's do the clap.
Let's kick it off. Oh,
clap's a big deal.
Well, it's a deal at the very least. But all right. So the trick to the clap, yeah. For those of you that don't know, it's time.is just one big clock that syncs up. So what do you want to go with, guys?
I say let's go with 8:14:15.
Oh, man. Okay.
Oh, my God. I went a second early. I don't even know what I was thinking.
Well, you said 14 first and then just totally messed you up because
you're 14:15. We're going to do it again.
We've done this before for sure. All right.
8:14:35.
Got it.
Too much beer already.
All right.
Wow.
We are synced.
The one-year clap might have been the best, everybody. I think it was.
Might have been.
What a time. What a world.
Right. Well, let's... what do we want to dig into tonight, guys?
Hey, what's going on? It's Justin. Just wanted to give a shout-out to APM for providing the track for us here on the Creative Sports Podcast. We're doing this podcast as an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're finding us and aren't a member of the community yet, you can sign up for free at sportscreativeslack.com.
Well, first of all, I just want to say, I hate to pat our own backs, but mostly,
I love doing
I think we say it a lot is that, you know, this podcast was really Justin's idea and he brought it together and he's really the driving force behind it. I know I'm just happy to be along for the ride and help where I can. But I just want to say congrats, Justin. I think a year on anything is an impressive goal. I'm lucky if I hold on to a job for stay at a job for a year. Right. So I just want to say congrats. Thanks, Justin, for putting this all together. And it's been fun. I think, you know, consistency is key in these things. And you have been the one to make sure we're consistent. So I appreciate everything you do for the podcast. So I'm gonna have a drink because of that.
Cheers to that, boys.
Drink my Angel's Envy to that, yeah.
Oh, Angel's Envy. I was just in Louisville this last weekend. Didn't get into Angel's Envy, unfortunately. They were booked up for a month in advance, but...
Oh, so good. No, but yeah, no. I mean, I'm not the only one making things run, so appreciate everybody else.
Yeah, and to Matthew helping out. For the idea behind the Slack, and we appreciate all you've done for this group and for helping us put this out and just making this a thing for the Slack. So cheers to Matthew as well.
Yeah. You guys are the real star of the show though. I mean, you guys have been cranking out episodes every week. So more power to you guys. It's been a delight to listen to them all. You guys have had some really good conversations. So kudos to you. You guys have been really doing a great job. So
appreciate it.
Yeah, I've always said I'd do this show even if nobody listened to it because I think it's fun and I enjoy talking to people. But I have been I think I've said it before on the podcast, and I know I've definitely said it a lot after. I am shocked by how many people listen to this podcast, react to it, you know, give us feedback. Like it makes it, you know, it makes at least me like work harder at it, knowing that people actually care. And if we don't do a good job, I might be letting somebody down and I don't want to do that. So, but I'm, you know, the response, you know, to me has just been like unbelievable. I look at the numbers like every single week and it's like, wow, why do people listen to me talk? It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, it's wild. I'm very thankful for the people who have listened and given us feedback as well. I mean, like I feel like we could fill an hour just talking about all the things we're thankful for from this last year, because obviously it's been quite the up and down year for everyone involved, you know, both us and just in the Slack group in general. I know this has been a crazy year. So it's, you know, I think we're all very thankful that we're close to the other side of it, it feels like, and hopefully things are going back to normal. I mean, I think that's kind of been the theme, I think, almost of this last year is like because we started this in June you know, there was some optimism already when we started this of, okay, you know, things are maybe starting to, you know, cases are going down, and then we ended up, you know, having the second and third waves come through a little bit, but sports were happening again at the very least. And so we got to kind of see that. And I think one of the things that I've learned in this last year is just how innovative people can be and all the different ways that, you know, sports have changed. Just people were so innovative. And I think that's kind of been the theme of this last year to me is the innovation that we see in this industry continues to happen despite everything being against us over these last, 12 to 14, 15 months now that this has all been going on.
I'll tell you what, though, I am happy to have less Zoom, though. No offense to Zoom. Love Zoom. But I would love a world where, A, we can have another SEC meetup, you know, hopefully sometime in the near future.
Year two,
I know we haven't quite started talking about it, Matt, but I'm sure we will soon on the board side. And then I would love to do this podcast live with all three of us in a room some way, somehow.
I love it.
You know, in the future, you know, like that would be unbelievable.
Maybe have a live podcast at a
meetup. Oh, that'd be great. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, we do a city meetup and we do a live podcast. But then nobody's going to listen to it because everybody who listens to it is going to be in the room with us.
That's all right.
Right.
That's okay. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of the live podcast. They're in the room. They just get to hang out.
So I think for our audio listeners at home, we probably should point out who the other voices are. Obviously, we talked about it already. We have Matt Desmond with us, who is the founder of the Sports Creative Slack group. And we have Gilbert from Houston, who's a photographer, sports photographer, part-time. And, you know, Matt, I think it's good we have you on because you just made a gigantic move, right? From literally from coast to coast. I don't think you can move any further in the U.S., you know, from one coast to another. Almost. Pittsburgh's not quite East Coast, you know, but you're right there. How has that transition been in transitioning, you know, from the NFL to this freelance role, all while moving during all of it? How has that been for you?
Yeah, I mean, that's been a journey. I guess everyone's had a different experience during the pandemic, but I think everyone's kind of learned how to, you know, go through adversity. And, you know, I was with MLB for a bit, for three seasons, and then the furloughs happened, so I had to find a new opportunity. So luckily I was able to land the NFL, and then it was more just a lifestyle change for me, you know, being from the East Coast. I wanted to come back and see family. I haven't seen family for 2 years, so it's kind of a homecoming for me. But going back onto the freelance endeavors, it's been great so far. I actually have some big news I'll be announcing next week. Can't announce it now, just waiting for some official paperwork to go through. But I'm thrilled to be back here on the East Coast, just still getting used to the East Coast time zone and trying to stay up for those West Coast games.
Yeah, that's the big difference.
Yeah, that's a different world. I've been there. I don't miss the East Coast time zone. I'm central guy for life.
Well, not only that, but going from baseball to the NFL to freelance, I mean, having worked in the NFL, having worked in the NBA, those seasons are very different. Major League Baseball is, you know, double what the NBA schedule is. So I can only imagine that the change in workflow and workload over the course of the year probably changed pretty drastically as well.
Yeah, it's kind of been touching on different leagues and just different environments. Because when I was at the NFL, it was all remote. So I'd never been at a job in a remote capacity before. So that was my first experience being completely remote without meeting any of my coworkers. So that was a unique experience. And then it kind of prepared me for the freelance life, you know, just kind of being more independent. It's been interesting kind of going through all those different cultures and environments, but it's definitely molded me into where I'm at now. So grateful to do that.
I think that's an interesting perspective because we haven't talked to a ton of freelance voices. You know, we've had a few here, but I mean, how did you make that transition from kind of more of that full-time staff into freelance? And what were some of the things you really like about it? And what are some of the challenges you found so far?
Yeah, and I think most people have to like realize it's not just out of the blue a decision. That's a decision you're kind of working towards, you know, 1 or 2 years out, because going into freelance, there's a lot of ups and downs and there's a lot of pros and cons. So you have to be prepared as much as you can. So for me, I started, you know, thinking this was going to be a realization before the whole pandemic happened. So I started, you know, reaching out to people who I thought might, you know, be able to help me in that venture that I was going to be going into. And then just kind of, you know, looking at my whole life, you know, laid out and say, hey, do I really want to stay out here on the West Coast, or do I want to, you know, kind of get back towards family? And being freelance and being remote, you know, made it a lot easier for me to kind of get back home and see my family and kind of be in a place where I could kind of plan my future. So that was kind of what I was trying to accomplish there. And then, you know, just the pros and cons, you know, I think the pros is you kind of get to dictate the clients you bring on. And then some of the cons is sometimes it's hard to, you know, get some outside perspective from other creatives, because sometimes you're the only creative in the room. So, you know, whenever you're going through that ideation phase, you hit that creator's block, and sometimes it's hard to get out of that creative block because you're the only creative on that project and you're kind of being tasked with coming up with the vision for the end product. So there's a lot of pros and there's a lot of cons, but there's some of the ones that stick out to me.
How do you address that when you kind of hit that creative block, or, you know, you don't have people to share with? I mean, do you seek out those voices then? I mean, are you showing people your in progress, you know, work, or how have you approached that so far?
Yeah, it's kind of tricky. I mean, sometimes you're signing non-disclosures with, so you really can't give too much information about projects you're working on, but maybe, you know, just in theory, you know, just some of the exercises you're going through and say, hey, like X, Y, and Z, I'm kind of running into a dead end with this exercise in this project. You know, some people, you know, have a lot of experience in the freelance landscape, so they're able to kind of, you know, at least give you some general, you know, assistance, or give you some general feedback to how to kind of navigate around. So it's been helpful in that sense for sure.
Kind of flipping gears.
You're a little choppy, Brock. We got to, this is the joys of doing it live, but we're, I think Brock's on hotel Wi-Fi, if I'm not mistaken.
I am in beautiful Ohio on hotel Wi-Fi. Oh boy.
Trouble.
Oh boy.
Trouble.
Oh boy. Hold on. Oh, it crashed.
Oh boy. And there goes Brock.
I think, you know, something you touched on there that could be interesting to get into that we haven't really talked much about is brainstorming and coming up with ideas, because that can be a challenge across the board. How do you approach the discovery phase with people, and how deep do you get into that? Or are you inserted into a project after the discovery phase has already been done and you understand what the issues are that you're trying to solve?
Yeah, I think it's really dependent on the client. Some of them really have just a laid out approach they want with that project. So it's kind of just getting the, you know, synopsis of the project and really seeing, okay, what's the creative package for this project? You know, how do we want to implement those graphics into this project? How much finesse do you really want to put in there, and how much storytelling do you want in there? So it's really just kind of seeking out the balance that they want in there. And then sometimes, you know, you might be going into a project from the ground up and you might be tasked with, you know, really directing the vision for the project. So sometimes clients will have something, maybe that pre-production, you know, gathering of information. And then sometimes they might come at you and say, okay, well, here's what we have. What do you think you can do with it? And really task you to, you know, put all of your creative juices into a project. So it really depends on the clients. And at the end of the day, I think communication is one of the most undervalued skills in our industry, because if you don't communicate well, you're not going to be getting the end result that sometimes clients are seeking. So I don't think that's talked enough in this industry.
Yeah. And I mean, communication goes so much deeper than just that too. I mean, like client development and building relationship, like there's a million ways that you're right. I mean, we talk broadly about networking, but just that basic communication and how that's done is probably just even a bigger skill set that, that you're right, is undervalued and we probably don't talk about enough.
You guys are going to love this. Hotel internet, if you ever stayed in any hotel. I'm very fortunate to be a platinum Marriott Bonvoy member.
Yeah, buddy.
So I get free internet.
Titanium platinum. But, or is it titanium? Or?
Oh, I should be titanium right now, but I lost 30 days because of a book. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. But either way, you still, even though it's free, you have to, every 24 hours, it kicks you out and you have to like reauthorize your MAC address on your computer. It did it right there. Like perfect timing. So that's what you get for doing this live. I don't know what we were talking about, but what I was going to transition to so eloquently before my computer cut me off was, Justin, you have just finished a season and a postseason. What's that transition been like? And what is the transition into the offseason look like for you, knowing that you're kind of going potentially back to a normal season after this?
Right now I'm in rest mode. when I came out to Boston, I had just finished a full season in the NFL and picked up the Celtics season midway through. So I said I would never do that again. Yeah, here we are during the pandemic, and we did it for, gosh, 19 straight months. And because we made the Eastern Conference Finals last year, it felt like there was hardly any break. So it's interesting to see that the teams that made it pretty far in the bubble actually are getting knocked out of the playoffs pretty early this year. But part of it's due to exhaustion, I'm sure, and mentally worn down. And I think that, you know, that's kind of similar to what the front offices and business side of everything is going through too. But I think we're excited to have some downtime, to have a little bit of rest, to have to be able to set up and plan heading into next year. And yeah, just looking forward to draft. That's usually the first big priority. You know, we have draft workouts coming up. Combine, lottery, which we aren't in this year, but there's a bunch of announcements and some of those kinds of things, big moments, award shows. So we're kind of in recap mode with looking back at the season, trying to pull out some positives from the season, highlight what some of our top guys did. Performances, obviously, Tatum had a huge year, especially towards the end, you know, tying records, you know, getting in the Celtics record books, and he's not the only one. Rookies are making moves in the record books as well. So just trying to pull out some of the positives and gear people towards looking forward to next year and making sure that we have everything in line and start to prep. And what is next year going to look like? What is the graphic package going to look like? Are we changing this? Are we changing that? Are we going back into, are we reformulating any concepts, any content that we're producing? Is it working? Is it not working? Is there a sponsor attached? Do we need to have a conversation with the sponsor and see what we can and what they're open to us tweaking with the concepts? Are there new concepts? Do we want to create new content and push, you know, just kind of stepping back and evaluating where everything stands and what's next is really what we'll get to probably in the next couple of weeks. And obviously budgeting is part of that as well. So that's kind of the mode that I'm in right now, is figuring out what our budget looks like, what and how we how we try and return to some semblance of normal, what we want to keep, you know, kind of to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago.
So not much going on is what you're saying. Not much to do.
No.
You're good.
No.
Yeah. How do you think about those things? Once you get through the budgeting process, obviously that's a big part of, you know, what you're able to do and what you can accomplish as a department. But as you start thinking about, you take this rest time and you allow yourself to, you know, relax and catch your breath for just a minute here. But then how do you start your brainstorm for next year? Where do you come up with, you know, the priorities? I'm kind of asking a question about brainstorming both as a creative and brainstorming as a manager. How do you combine, you know, the creative ideals with, you know, the actual priorities of a department?
I think that we have a lot of room to do those a lot better.
Sure.
I think it comes down to trying to decide on a North Star for direction of what you want next season to look like. What's our theme beyond just the tagline? Beyond, there's a difference between voice and tone. Your voice doesn't really change, but your tone can change. It's like your personality. So just determining what those are and how we would execute against those. And then we can get into the brainstorming side of things. And I've learned a ton from the animation bootcamp and design bootcamp stuff that I've taken of how to brainstorm and come up with ideas that are not the surface level ideas that come up quite often. It's about going deeper, and I'm glad we have this time to think about that stuff and start to evaluate and push into, okay, who are we going to be next year? What do we want to do? And then what do we need to pull that stuff off? Because we've lost some staff. We've, we have a lot of room to make up. And, you know, are we taking commercials in house? Are we we produce the hype videos every year in house. So those are kind of the big temple moment. Schedule release is obviously a huge one too in the off season. So just kind of prepping that way.
I'll tell you, doing commercials in house at the Chiefs was one of my favorite and least favorite things we ever did, because it's this huge, and at least it, maybe it's not as much in the day. Maybe it's not as much now as it was back then, but back then it felt like, oh my gosh, I'm making a commercial campaign for TV, right? Maybe it's not as big of a deal now because less people watch TV, or maybe not as many tickets need to be moved. I don't know, but it always feels like a huge production, right? But you always feel like you have to have this high level concept. We always worked with an ad agency, and then we would execute the ad agency's idea. If you took commercials in house, how do you see that working? Do you think you would serve as the ad agency as well and ideate and execute? Or do you feel like you'd work with an external agency and help ideate with the agency, then execute with your internal team?
We've had them internal the last year and a half or so. And we can push the boundaries a little bit more on those. But I think overall, it's more about the theme and developing a theme. And one of the people who was really strong in that was ended up leaving. He's Alex, who's now with the Astros, and he kind of spearheaded that and pushed us in that direction, which was great. So that's why I think we need to evaluate what we're doing there. But it's tough because we capture most of that stuff during content day, and that's kind of our one big day to make all of that happen. We don't get a lot of time with the athletes outside of that. So you have we'll call it a 20 by 12 room where you're trying to set up and capture, and you have some limitations as far as what you can capture. I thought the last year's worth of content that we captured and produced was definitely our best. And so it's just figuring out how we can push the boundaries within the constraints that we have in front of us.
Oh, sorry, Garrett. I thought you had something.
No, so my bad.
See, people are really just like, you're seeing how the sausage is made right now, because there's a lot of times where we're all just like, if we were all in a room together, it'd be the equivalent of all of us just staring at each other, thinking like the other's going to talk.
But going back to what you were just saying, though, too, there's an evaluation of, we're a digital first department. And when you try to produce content for broadcast, it takes more time. You're getting 30 seconds out of it. What is that worth versus churning out more digital content? And that's a real question, right? It's a real evaluation. If you outsource that content, if you outsource the broadcast content, you're going to pay through the nose. If you bring it internally, you're taking away from resources that you're using for digital content. So it's a push and pull, and it's an that's why it's a big evaluation, is how valuable is it? Is the commercial spot broadcast to the organization? And you know, I mean, we, if you take it back to local teams have in the NFL.
Oh, we just lost your mic.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. Local teams in the NFL have, we talked about that, the preseason games, right? So there's a reason why they're producing some of, you know, a lot of that content. In the NBA, we have an RSN, Regional Sports Network, that we work with, and you know, they're producing their own content. So it's a push and pull for sure.
I think that's one of the things that I think gets talked about like internally within departments, but I don't think it's a big conversation within, you know, the creative industry within, I mean, between each other. I don't feel like we talk about, you know, value versus time as often as maybe we should, because I mean, to your point, Justin, for a 30-second TV spot, you're doing a ton of work and you're spending a ton of time and theoretically you can spend a lot of money on a 30-second TV spot. But I mean, is that where your time is best spent, your money is best spent? And I remember having those conversations even, you know, when I was at Nebraska. We have those conversations at Big Ten Network when we talk about, you know, storytelling, like, is this something that we want to do a, you know, 6-minute piece on and really go out and find all the voices, or, you know, can we do it as effectively in 30 seconds with footage we already have? I mean, these are those are the kind of conversations that I think probably, I mean, they obviously have always been happening, I mean, you know, with different mediums and over the course of time, but I think the digital is really, you know, the digital first narrative has changed that a ton, and it's happening more often where, you know, to like broadcast isn't dead by any means, but I think, you know, I mean, even Big Ten Network, like we call ourselves a, like, you know, multi-platform media company. We're not a television network anymore. And, you know, I mean, even, you know, something that a place like Big Ten Network that is traditionally a television network is saying, like, we don't want to be only that. So it's super interesting to me to see the way that people look at value and I just think it's something that, you know, that there are very few voices, and I feel like it's happening more on the social media side, between social media coordinators and those kind of things, versus I'm not sure it's a conversation that I'm hearing, you know, by those who are technically content creators. It's happening a little bit more, and I'd be interested to hear, you know, perspectives. I mean, in the channel, and it's probably a question that would just be good to put down and hear some answers, but like how people evaluate, you know, we can tell this story really well, but is it going to do numbers? Is it going to achieve the goals that we want it to achieve for the time that we're going to spend on it, and how you evaluate that? I just think that's a really interesting conversation that isn't happening that much in the industry that I've heard.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point there, because I've kind of approached it in the last 2 years from a team side and from a freelance perspective. And it's been a two different spectrums, to be honest, because when I was in-house, that was like one of our big projects for the year. And then on the freelance side, it was still a big project, but I felt less stressed because, you know, I was responsible for that. But, you know, if I'm coming from a team side, you're usually tasked with so much more than on a freelance side, where you're able to kind of disseminate your clients and you kind of have your schedule built out. But sometimes, you know, internal staff from different departments might not understand all the stress that kind of comes with that 30-second spot. So I feel like you're able to kind of, you know, put more attention to detail from the freelance side compared to in-house when you have other projects coming from different areas. So I definitely think it's this discussion that's not talked about as much as it should be.
Yeah, Matthew, I think that's cool to hear from, like you said, from the perspective of in-house versus freelance. Cause I think when you go in-house, you do tend to have a lot of, you know, cooks in the kitchen, you know, where maybe you don't get to control the priorities of the department, maybe as much as you should, you know, or as much as you'd like at the very least, whereas freelance, you have a lot more control over that.
Yeah, because we all know that you're not only on one project when you're in-house, you're juggling multiple projects, and that's might be similar in freelance, but you have a little bit more control over that. So that's just kind of where that stemmed from.
I think what's wild is, I think, you know, I'm a little bit older. I'm not old by any stretch of the imagination, right? But I like to think I'm not old, right? Right, guys? Right?
You're closer to 40 than you are 20.
Don't tell me that.
Or 30.
But to me, it was always, for the longest time, when people were talking about cutting the cord, and that was a new thing, right? And people were saying, well, this is the death of traditional television. We're never going to see traditional televised content again. These things are dead. And what I think we found out during all of this is traditional TV content isn't dead. I think what it's shown is that good content is king, right? Live games are still getting great ratings, whether that's streaming digitally or live, right? Like that's not going away. Good sports content, whether long form is what I'm talking about here, long form sports content that I think people, not just sports, but I think people thought long form content was really kind of a thing of the past with social media coming in, especially on the sports side. I think we've proven that that's just not the case. People just want quality content, right? I think about, like, Garrett, you've turned me on to F1 Drive to Survive, like that series. I went into that series. I did not give a two craps about F1 from a fan perspective, right? I was not a fan.
Me neither.
But I watched that series, and now I'm the biggest Daniel Ricciardo and Lando Norris fan. I'm a McLaren guy, like, through and through. I've watched every Grand Prix since I've finished it, right? And I'm going to watch every season of that show. Although that third COVID season, you can tell they're really hamstrung by COVID. There was some weird stuff going on there storytelling wise that I feel bad for them because it was obviously COVID related. But with that being said, like, that type of content, and if you haven't watched F1 Drive to Survive, go watch it.
Like, I don't care if you leave this podcast.
But it could have been about anything, right? It could have been about anything. It could have been about, you know, polo, right? Like, it doesn't matter because the content and the access was king, right? And I would watch 6 hours of that as opposed to a 1 minute hype video that's poorly edited, right? Because I think people a few years ago, and by a few years ago, I mean like 5 or 6, like, got hyper focused in, like, short form content in a way that was detrimental to long form content. And I think over these past few years, we've just reinforced that there is a large place for this content that used to be on TV or still is on TV. And it doesn't matter if it's good, people are going to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're talking about a couple different things there that I think is interesting. I think the pendulum swung a little really far into social media, and it's going to, you know, come back a little bit. And I think the thing that's going to push it to come back even more is when OTT is more widely adopted by teams. And there's some limitations mm-hmm. there, but it's about the diversity of content. You have to have a diverse content pool to attract the different people, you know, different fans as of the team in order to deliver. So certain people are going to want to watch more docu-style content. Certain people are going to want to watch the 15-second content. And I think our biggest challenge is the manpower that behind that. We you know, started mm-hmm. the conversation with time and attention, but it also comes down to resources, and that really highlights it. But I do think the social media pendulum is probably going to start to come back in the next year or two.
And I don't want to get twisted. I'm not sitting here saying, like, oh, I'm not going to watch 1 minute or short edited social media pieces. What the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah, there's still a lot of room for that and a lot of good stuff.
Quality content, I think, is what is king. Right. I didn't do a good enough job of iterating that at the beginning. I think quality content, no matter what the length, right, is going to trump people just sitting there and staring at analytics and saying, well, short form performs better on this platform because of this. While generally might be true, and it's good to stick in those guidelines, and I think analytics are great, right? I think it just goes to show that quality content is king, no matter the length and the platform. If it's really, really good, people are going to find a way to watch it.
The pendulum had really swung in that last, you know, probably year right before I took this job into short form a little bit more, and I was, you know, a little nervous. And the Journey was my favorite show on television, and it had a lot to do with me wanting to be a part of this team that works on this show. But I was nervous to make that switch. And I've been blown away at the way people still find our content. And I mean, we do numbers on YouTube of long form content that I never would have expected, you know, coming into this. We do long form numbers on, I mean, even Twitter and Facebook, we're seeing, you know, 3, 4, 5 minute pieces strung together. I mean, even, you know, 10 minute pieces that a ton of people are finding and watching that, you know, I don't think those numbers were even there, you know, 5, 6 years ago. And I think the algorithms, you know, have changed too, to prioritize long form content, good content, that before it was just, you know, they were, I don't want to dive too deep into the algorithms because I'm just not as, you know, probably informed on that. And I don't want to say something dumb, but I think that they found better ways to highlight content, you know, as far as showing up on your feed, showing up in your related content, than just, you know, this is the thing that has the most views and it's 30 seconds long. I think there have been a lot of ways that they've improved, you know, discovering content and long form being a part of that as well.
Right. It was a few years ago. I don't know if they still do, but YouTube really rewarded content creators for pushing videos past, I forget what the minute mark was. It was 15 or 20 minutes. But if you could engage audiences longer, I think it was, again, I'm no expert.
Their sweet spot 6 to 10.
Right. Right. They wanted to engage audiences for over 10 minutes. So you saw videos coming out that were 15 to 20 because you knew your audience retention was going to be over certain percentage, right? And that was, I'm not sure if that's still the case, but obviously these platforms from an ad perspective want to keep viewers around for a longer term segment than they do just, you know, little one-off. They might be one and done and gone. And it's a lot easier to pallet a 15-second ad in a 30-minute video than it is a 15-second ad in a 30-second video, right? Like that's there's a value prop there that's a little different for one versus the other. Again, not going to get.
You mean you won't sit through 30-second spot on ESPN to watch an 8-second clip from a game?
No, I won't.
It's the most frustrating.
I mean, that says more about me than anything else, but I don't know.
It happens all over the place. I mean, I saw it on Twitter on signing day, places that had, you know, 20-second little clips for, you know, 20 some signees, and they had a 15-second pre-roll on it, and it's just probably not going to watch that if I'm being completely honest. I don't want to double my time, half of it in ads. Like, I realize we gotta do it to get stuff done and then make the money, but dang, that doesn't feel efficient.
Well, it kind of goes back to what's your business goal? What are you trying to accomplish? Mm-hmm. YouTube has a monetization platform. Twitter has monetization. So if you're going to sell content or get into the monetization as a secondary way of making money, you got to prioritize what you're looking at and what you want, right? Because the platforms are all looking for something different, and you're better off specializing on the platforms, and I think, than trying to spray and pray, I guess, best way to put it, for a video term, right?
So question for the small group here. Have any of you, and Matt, I'm thinking back to the Athletics, monetize your department's YouTube platform? Because we did not at Notre Dame. Do you guys at the Celtics, Justin, do you guys own enough rights to be able to do that? That's always the big question mark, right?
It's through the league has an option to do that, but I'm not involved or know enough to speak to that.
Yeah, I wasn't involved with that process, but I believe all of our content that went through YouTube was sent to the league, and we have a league rep kind of handle our YouTube distribution. So that was more a league initiative than an actual internal team initiative.
Yeah, I mean, similar boat. I'm not involved in it really. I do believe we monetize our YouTube, but I don't want to speak out of turn on that and be wrong. So I'll unfortunately sit out of that one.
And I want the audio listeners at home to know that we are not ignoring Gilbert. Gilbert has left. I'm not ignoring Gilbert. That's why you have not heard his voice. So it's not just, we're not actively ignoring people. We are just, Gilbert is no longer on the call. So thanks for joining, Gilbert.
Well, gentlemen, what's next? I mean, what does the next year hold for? What are our hopes? What are our goals for this next year ahead? We've got 1 year of podcast in the books. Brock, I'm going to start with you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being on job sites without masks. Like, that's going to be exciting. We're actually, this job site is transitioning right now. If you're fully vaccinated, you are allowed to work on the job site without a mask, which is exciting. It feels weird. My hotel right now that I'm in, it has a big sign that says if you're fully vaccinated, you do not need to wear a mask. And it's weird walking into a building. It's kind of like when you walk out of your house and you don't have your cell phone on you, right? And you have that feeling of like, oh, something's missing. It's like I'm walking into buildings, into a structure, and I feel like something's missing, and it's always the mask, right? But it's a good feeling. It's just like a weight off your shoulders knowing that you're not going to get anybody else sick. You're not sick. You're not going to get sick, or the chances are extremely low. I can't say you're not going to get sick. But yeah, I'm excited for more of that. I'm excited just like to be around people again. Because if you guys remember me in college, I'm a very social person. I like being around people. I like having drinks with other people. So I'm so excited to just get back to that and just not have to worry.
Justin?
There's a lot. my focus right now is automating motion graphics and design to make it more accessible across the board. And I think I have an idea that I'm onto something to share it more broadly and make it accessible. That hopefully I'll be in a much better spot a year from now to talk about it a lot more. But that's kind of been my focus and goal. Motion graphics are everywhere. And there's not a lot of people who can do it, and really not a lot of people who can do it really well. And, you know, being able, with some of the Adobe updates that have been made with media replacement in particular, that's been huge. There's just a lot of opportunity there to create mogerts, to create templates for people. And I see it all the time in the Slack channel. It's about, hey, I see a lot of templates. I see a lot of things, but it's not for sports. So that's kind of what I'm working on as a teaser.
Matthew, what about you, buddy? What are you most looking forward to? It sounds like you've got an opportunity at some point that you can't bring up yet, but what are you looking forward to over the next 12 months?
Yeah, I guess kind of like on a broad spectrum, I think, you know, from the beginning of the pandemic, we saw just the rise of audio-driven platforms. So I'm really curious to see how that transitions now that we're kind of trending back towards normalcy. We saw Clubhouse, Twitter Spaces is now emerging. How is that being integrated on the daily? And will that survive in this day and age? So I think we saw a lot of innovation just from, you know, adapting to the times that we're in with a lot of different companies, you know, creating new platforms for users to test out. So it's going to be interesting since with this pandemic, we were kind of sampled where we were supposed to be maybe 3 to 5 years down the road. And it was just really fast forwarded. So I think it's going to prepare us more for the future, and we're faster thinkers because of that. So I'm excited just to kind of get back into the live crowd environments. I know we're being introduced to that more regularly now. So when all the fall sports are back, and it's going to seem like it's a lot more normal, because I don't think we appreciated how much the fans meant to the game. And now every time we go to a stadium, we understand, hey, if there's a time in your schedule where you feel kind of bogged down and you have to work another game, you have a whole new thought process of just how to appreciate that. So I think it's going to be just a different way to think about your job on a day-to-day basis and just being more appreciative just as a big picture.
Yeah, I think on my end, I, uh, Boy, I don't know. I'm excited to get in front of, you know, get back to campuses, get back in front of people. I think that my favorite part of the job is just talking to people. My interviews are never on camera. You never see me. You never hear me if I do it right. And I'm thankful for that. But that is my favorite part of the job, is just sitting down across from someone and having the opportunity to tell their story, you know, and that they let me in and are willing to just trust me to talk about that. And I'm, you know, obviously I've still been really thankful to have that opportunity to do it over Zoom over the last year, where we've still run our show. Our show's still gone out, and in my opinion, we've put on a quality show. But I'm just excited to be on campus face to face, because that relationship that you build face to face, you can't replicate that. You can do a version of it, and it can work, and it can be done well. But it just doesn't replicate the relationship that you build with someone when you're face to face, you know, a few feet away from them, and just able to get to know them better in person. And I think that's what I'm most excited about more than anything. It's just, you know, not even like the broad travel, being back on campus and all that stuff. Like, I love seeing the campuses. I love exploring new places and the travel side of it, but it's just being face to face with someone and being able to ask them questions about themselves and their lives and just get to know them better. And I can't wait until I'm back doing that again. That's for sure. Well, on that note, unless anyone else has any grand sweeping thoughts, I just, you know, again, I want to say thank you to Matthew for everything you've done for the Slack channel. Thank you to Justin for starting this and really being the driving force behind this podcast for the last year, and for everyone who's been listening for, you know, 12 months now, 52 straight weeks of content. Thank you to everyone who has helped us. Not only by listening, but by sharing it, by subscribing, by, you know, really helping us grow the people, because we do it because we care about this community. We do it because we, you know, care about the people who are a part of it and want to, you know, not only share some of the knowledge that we've had, that we've gained throughout the years in our experiences, but also learn from the experiences of others, because we've had some really incredible guests over the last 12 months. So thank you to them as well. And just can't wait for another 12 months of this and to be doing this again 12 months later.
Only in front of a live audience. That's the caveat.
Can't wait.
Well, thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions. So pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker, and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.